Hello, and welcome to the Strength to Be Human podcast with your host, author and playwright Mark Anthony Rossi. This show explores all forms of creativity for those searching for meaning and a place in the world. To err is human, but so is to love. Now, without further ado, here's your host.
Episode number 11, The Power of the Night. I have always wanted to put together an episode that talked about the night. You hear so much about it when you read art. You see so much about it when you see different television shows. Oftentimes, people who write or produce horror movies, they use the night as a backdrop for all kinds of serious, mysterious, spiritual, wicked, witchy, whatever you want to call that. But they use it for that otherworldly element. Like the night has some sort of a power. And I believe actually it does. That's why I call this episode The Power of the Night. I wanted to talk about that. I think it's interesting that it's a very, very common word, especially when you're looking at people's writing in the poetry genre. You know, if you had, let's say, 100 poems from 100 different poets, I bet you half of them mention night in some fashion. It's amazing how that word becomes so popular because it is so compelling. It's so powerful. Many a times, most of us, and myself is included, although as I've gotten older in writing, I've done more things now in the daytime and try to manage time better. And as because you get more confident, you have more control, you can do other things. But generally, even to this day, and for most people who I talk to, the night is when they feel they have a freedom. The night represents to many people freedom, like a magical place. I mean, if you have a wife and two kids like I do, sometimes when everybody's sleeping, the night is a magical place. You could finally rest, get something done. No one's bothering you. Daddy, he hit me. Daddy, I'm running out of water. Daddy, my head hurts. Daddy, I broke the window. You know, it's a nonstop thing. So it's great to not have to listen to any of that and try to get some other things done for a change, because you have a whole day of that. It's nice to have a break. And I think for many other people, those distractions are gone as well. And those distractions could be work or could be you're on a date with somebody. You know, it ends wonderful, but, you know, you're back home alone. Now you can go do some writing or get some editing done or something. Something useful. Sometimes writing and just relaxing are the same thing for people. Sometimes the night is just where people feel that they can go run and hide. And I don't always necessarily mean that in some kind of a bad way. A lot of times you can hide. It doesn't mean you're hiding from something or somebody or it's something negative. I mean, you have a rough day and you're sitting on a couch with some popcorn and you're watching the show. I mean, trust me, you're hiding from like all the things that just happened bad that day. You like to have something nice for a change. So there's good ways of hiding and there's good ways of doing that. Lots of times they happen in the night where there is a kind of a mystery. I don't know if you folks have noticed recently, we had that big moon, super bright, and later on it turned into the blood moon. If you know anything about history, oftentimes warfare with generals, they would wait for that big moon to come out because then they can actually travel at night, sometimes even attack at night. Because when you're in 15th century France, I mean, it's not like there's traffic lights everywhere and a McDonald's in every corner. So if you don't have that bright moon out there illuminating the fields, you can't go travel and do anything. You don't know what you're stepping on. You don't know what's going to happen to your horses and your equipment. It's dangerous out there. But when you have the moon, well, it's bright. You could see. You could do things. So the moon has a real effect on people. It still does. And it has an effect on the night because it pulls the tides. I think it affects women and some of their functions at times. It affects people sometimes, they say, in the mood. There is a study. Actually, I think there's a couple of studies that seriously suggest that the crime rate is higher when the full moon is out. Now, I know it doesn't sound scientific, and I can imagine as a police officer saying, oh boy, I hope there's not a full moon tonight. I like to not have to do too many arrests. But they have statistics that clearly show this. Now, does it mean that the moon and its magnetic pull is doing something to your brain, and you become a criminal for a moment, or you lose your senses for a moment, or your manners. I'm not really sure about that. It could just be that people say, hey, there's a moon out. Maybe this is my license to be a nut and go do something crazy and get myself in trouble. That's always possible, too. So it can go both ways. But it is pretty conclusive. When the moon is out, more bad things seem to happen. I mean, there's some good things that happen, too, because the moon also is a romantic instrument for people. You're on the beach, beautiful moon comes out, hold the girl's hand, maybe you just met her. Great, great chance to do something there. I don't mean anything, you know, silly, but I mean, you can hold your hands, you can get a kiss in there under the moon. It's beautiful, it's romantic, why not? With the beach, good sound. So just a great atmosphere. So the moon, the night, these are places and these are things that can compel a person to do something maybe that they didn't do before. Meaning that maybe in the daytime you're kind of shy, but at night, moon's out, pretty girl, nice breeze. Hey, hold your hand, get a little closer, learn a little bit more, get a kiss. Call the night a success. So that's great. You maybe couldn't do that in the afternoon when everybody's yelling and hollering and barking their horns with their cars. So that's a great thing right there. It's also a very inspirational time for many people. Sometimes it's, like I said before, to hide or escape from the craziness of the day. And other times it's simply, hey, I feel the most inspiration in the night. I feel the darkness, and I don't mean the darkness in some magical negative way. I mean just the darkness of, this is great. I don't have something blinding my eyes over here and everybody's out. This is something where everybody's gone. And now I can feel settled and I can feel a silence and I can get some kind of a meditative moment where I can now pull something out of the muse or put those notes I've been putting together into some kind of composition or some kind of form that's going to create a song or a poem or the beginnings of a play. So the night, in many instances, becomes, for many people, I know it has for me plenty of times in the past, especially when I lived overseas, it becomes like a friend and even a partner to the creative process. I know that probably sounds unusual. Hey man, who's your creative partner? The night and the moon and a few stars. It probably sounds pretty weird and maybe even a bit corny, but we know down through the centuries how many people have talked about that it aided them, that it became their creative partner, that it became the backdrop for what they wanted to do, that it oftentimes was the time and the place for somebody to do something creative, that they're in a cabin, nobody's bothering them, it's night, got a fire going on, boom, you get some wonderful stuff written. Why not? I mean, there's plenty of people who have written songs the same way. I think if you talk to a lot of rock bands, you'll find that they felt that they got some of their best songs cut, some of their best songs rehearsed, maybe even some of their best songs written from the scratch just because they were recording late in the night. Having a couple beers and a couple of cigarettes in the night. Everybody's like pretty happy. Boom, they got a classic song right there. I know it sounds strange, but I still feel to this day that even when I get writing done in the afternoon, and even if I feel strong about that writing that I did in the afternoon, to me, I don't know why, maybe just because of habit or just because I'm still a believer in that mystery, that power of the night, but it feels like the afternoon writing doesn't have the same intensity or the same authenticity as what I can do in the night. It's almost like I got to run tonight and go re-edit that thing so I could give it a night stamp or something. It's almost like it's not real until it's dark out. And it's unusual because it's part of who we are as artists, that many times artists will have their methods. I know I discussed with Linda Imbler, the Kansas poet, about some of her process, and she has a whole program of things that's necessary for her to get to the point where she has something that she feels is now art and can be released to the world, a number of steps. I like to call them rituals because in many ways, that's what they are. Eventually, as you grow older in your art and you're more comfortable in who you are and what you're trying to say, you're going to establish certain rituals. And some of those rituals might have to do with the night. I'm not mentioning, going out there naked in the forest and praying to the stars or something, but I'm talking about the ritual of, hey, I feel the night's coming on. I got a couple ideas. I don't think I could roll them out and do something real with them until everybody's in bed, until the stars are out, until the moon is out there shining, you know, until I just hear the birds or maybe the crickets out. Then I feel, hey, I could do something. I can let my metaphorical hair down, so to speak. And that's normal. And it's actually interesting in many ways, because if you think about it, sometimes you can't really settle yourself until the night comes. And that's mainly because if you really, really look at it carefully, it's when you get tired. Believe it or not, art is different than most jobs in the sense that, you know, you're a construction worker. I mean, you're not swinging that axe or that hammer at 9:30 at night. At that point, you're already too relaxed and too tired, had a couple beers and could care less. But the artist can be a different creature. The artist sometimes can actually do their best work when they're calm and relaxed and maybe a little bit tired in the later evening, because then, in many ways, they're letting their guard down. They're letting down the defenses they needed for the day or for today or whatever day that they needed. They needed to use those defenses to protect themselves from a hostile world, or they needed those defenses to protect some of the more honest things they might want to say to somebody that they care about. Now they don't have to worry about that sort of stuff. They can let that stuff down and go about doing their art. So we're in many ways a reverse of a lot of people in the kind of work that they do. People who are tired often don't do good work, but not artists. We sometimes do our best work when we're tired. I can remember plenty of nights being dreary-eyed in Germany or in Luxembourg or Denmark, some of the places I sat down to do some writing and had some assignments. I felt better at night. I mean, I was exhausted. I'm yawning. You know, at the time, I was a smoker, so I have a couple cigarettes, you know, maybe some wine. And I was never one of those kind of people that could write well when I'm like drunk or anything, but a wine is okay. Just have one, you know, and do some stuff. But I always felt better that I can get something done because I just felt that more released. It was like there was a good chance that because I was more calm and relaxed, even though I was tired, that I was going to get something done. I'm able to reach in some place I couldn't before because all the other stuff is on top of it. It buries it, the course of the day, your relations and relations to other people, some of the just the boring errands we have to do in the course of a day. You know, go get an oil change or throw the garbage out or get some groceries or go see somebody about fixing a gutter in your house or something. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't find any of those things entertaining, let alone educational. They're just things you have to get done, kind of like the laundry, which is a big metaphor for me. I'm doing the laundry. Don't like doing it, but it has to get done because it's not going to do itself. And you got smelly clothes and you can't have that. So you have to get it done. But I don't know about you, but I don't care what kind of machine you have and what kind of detergent you have. Doing the laundry is boring. And smelly, and just, who likes doing it? I don't. I'd rather clean the toilet bowl than do the laundry, believe it or not. And that's supposed to be a worse job, but you can maintain something like that, and you won't have to do as much work. You can't do that with clothes. You're going to wear them, they're going to get dirty and smelly, you got to go get them cleaned, that's it. You don't have another shot to wear something again. Unless you're crazy, you got to, like, change. So it's not the same thing as other tasks. So it's super boring, in my opinion. So it is better, I feel, when you can relax, when you can rest, and you can let the night, if not take over, at least become a part of what you're trying to get done. Because things tend to settle in the night, just out in nature. It's not so restless out there. It's not so loud. I mean, things are happening. Don't get me wrong. The snakes are sleeping in the daytime because at night they're trying to grab their frogs and their lizards and their rabbits and, you know, and then, of course, you know, you got the owls over there. Can't wait to see the snake so it can swoop on down and get it. And these are things they're not doing in the daytime. So there's still life and there's still things going on in nature at night. But you're not really observing or being bothered by them because it's all about the human activity. When that comes down to a halt, is when you can now become the stronger human, the one that has the more of a connection to your own writing and your own thinking and your own ideas, and maybe even a little bit to the world too. Some people feel they connect better to the world when it's a night versus the day. The day is full of noise. The day is full of light, blinding in your ears and blinding in your eyes. It's a hectic and often a place full of all kinds of obstacles. So I am more than sympathetic to people that they like the night. And I don't believe in any of these silly stereotypes. And I always counsel people, please don't make the night into some dark, devilish thing. Just because some silly horror movie said that to you doesn't mean that's real. There's nothing in my opinion, the night is not any more noble or any more ignoble than the daytime. They have their place in the world. That's the world we live in. Sometimes it's going to be day, sometimes it's going to be night. Even in Alaska, which I visited, and it had 6 months of day and 6 months of night, they're still getting both of them. They just get them at a different time period. But nevertheless, and I could just imagine the creativity there in Alaska when every single day, you know, it's night, and you got to make night yourself in the house. You got to close all those blinds because there is no night until another 3 more months from then, because it's a 6 month period of time. So I can imagine having to do that and build a ritual into that. We take so much for granted. Living in a rural town or a big city or just living in America where we don't have to deal with that sort of stuff. But in Alaska, places like that, they have to deal with that. So I can imagine being a writer or a poet really wanting the night. Of course, you got the other side of that coin too. Because I would be like, oh, Lord, it's night again. Yeah, it's going to be night for 6 months. And what is that going to do for you? Now you got to make day. It's night all the time. Is that a good thing? Anything too much is never a good thing. So that's a really unusual circumstance. I hope one of these days I can find somebody from Alaska that's doing some wonderfully creative things and just have an interview. And I'm going to ask them, what do you do about this night and the day and creativity? And I think it'd be interesting to hear about it. I really do, because I don't have the foggiest idea. I've actually been to Alaska twice when I was in the Air Force, but it was more for refueling. I hung out for a little while, had a hamburger, checked things out, hoped that a polar bear wasn't going to try to kill me until I get back on my plane. But that was about it. I didn't actually do any writing. It was just too much in the midst of trying to get to Japan, and that was simply a stop for me. But I wonder about that now, and the years have gone by. So I hope I could find somebody, because I like to hear some interesting answers about that to see, you know, if it has an impact. I don't know if many of you know this or not, but oftentimes the amount of daylight that you get can affect a person's mood. It can make you more brighter. It can make you more cheery. Sometimes the darkness is also a way that can kind of depress a person's feelings. And I don't mean that just in an artistic sense. I mean, just in a general sense as a person. You know, I always laughed at when I was in London. I'm like, oh, man, it's raining again. How these people are so chipper when it's like cloudy and raining like almost every day? That's what it seemed like to me when I was in London. You know, it didn't even seem like to me when I was in Germany, when it could be that way. But it wasn't like that way all the time. But London always seemed to be that the case. Always cloudy, always raining, always going to have a coat on. But I don't know if folks are just used to that, or maybe it doesn't affect them the same way other people. But I'm not one of those people that like rain. I don't like rain at all. I know it's important for the earth and the plants and the deer drinking the water and blah, blah, blah. I got all that. But it doesn't mean I like it. To me, it's just a pain. You know, if I could have it my way, I make it rain, like, you know, at night when I don't have to worry about it anymore. The rain, good. Just don't rain in the daytime when I'm trying to get something done. You know, trying to get something done at the house or trying to do errands and, you know, trying to take groceries to your car and it's raining. It just makes the whole experience double horrible, double awful, you know. But there is, if you want to call it a magic to the night, there is. There's something magical about the night. You just feel more at peace. You just feel more at the power. You feel more like you have the power to do something and to create something. And I don't want to make a weird or funny joke about it, but more people conceive at night than they do in the daytime. Now, I don't know if that means just because that's when people do that at night more than the daytime. But again, people feel more relaxed. They feel They feel more at peace with themselves. And I know in some instances, from what I was reading, women who have conception problems, sometimes when they relax and sometimes when they put that stress out of themselves, and the night can be helpful for that, it gives them a better chance as well. There's actually some scientific studies about that, that the night can be an aid in our healing process, or maybe even in the conceiving process of having the child. They say that more babies are born in the night than they are in daytime, strangely enough. I never realized that. I would just think that because, you know, I'm always watching these TV shows and the baby's always in the daytime, you know, and they're going out and having a hamburger later or something. But no, it turns out that they happen more at night. Apparently, the body maybe gets more stressed at night, or maybe just the relaxation of the woman. Eventually, the baby wants to come out. Let me get out of here and go get some Similac or something. But that seemed to be the case as well. So there's a number of unusual and joyful things that are connected to the night. You could probably remember plenty, and I mean plenty, especially the recently, just titles. I mean, I Am the Night, or We Are the Night, Remember the Night, Night of the Living Dead. I mean, there's just a million titles that have night in it. It's just such a common thing. The Night, Our Night, The Long Night. I mean, you could go on forever about that. In fact, it is so popular, and it is so, I would say, common, that there's probably not a time at all when I don't get a poem that has some kind of night in it. I mean, sometimes I get a poem that just says night, and I have to tell the person, because, you know, if you know me right now and my journal aerial chart, I'm sort of a bit of a fanatic about the title. I think it's very important, especially in poetry. They have something that makes sense, something that's trying to be original, something that's poetic. God forbid, let's not have an unpoetic title. So calling it The Night, My Night, Night, not helpful. I usually have to tell people, not in a rejection, just in a sending back of, listen, this is a straight, solid, wonderful poem. Please get rid of this title. I already have 100 of them saying this, and I had to tell them all the same thing. So I do that a lot, as much as I love The Night, but give me something different. Give me something different about The Night. You can come up with something. You can still use night. Just give me something different that's going to connect with it, so we're getting something original. Because remember, and I learned that more from listening to Linda Imbler in her interview when she had mentioned that oftentimes the artist's job is to simply recreate, rearrange, or re-say something that we already know about. But you're bringing it a new perspective, or a new voice, a new light, a new something. It's the same thing with the title, folks. You got to do that. You can't just say, this is the title I have. Because it's obvious to me that folks, they don't really give a lot of thought to the title. They don't. And that's a problem, because usually it's an afterthought. And that's, you don't want to do that. It's a big part of what writing is about, is getting that interesting, poetic, snappy type of title in there. So going to use night, use it in a creative way, please. But the night itself, and the whole aspect of what that does to our creative thoughts and our creative arts and even our creative instruction, I find to be amazing. It's like the gift that keeps giving. I mean, I've had times where I literally said to myself, I cannot figure for the life of me how to proceed with this thing I'm working on. And I'm working on it sometimes in the day, and I'm stuck at a certain spot. Not writer's block. I'm just stuck that I cannot get it to the next part in order to wrap it up and get someplace with it. I'm one of those people that I don't believe in rewriting until I have something at least formed enough to rewrite. Because you can't rewrite something that's partially done. That's not rewriting. That's just being, you're still writing. You're only rewriting when something's actually done. It doesn't mean that it's done and it's ready to go out into the world, but I mean done that it's fully formed. If you want 16 lines, you did 16 lines. You're not rewriting if you got 12. You're still writing. And I always say to myself, if I get stuck in that kind of way, that means I need to leave this to the night. And I say that to myself. I literally use those words. I say it in my brain. It's not something I share with people because, you know, you're a writer. There's certain things you just don't talk about because the process itself is not that interesting unless you're already in the arts. Otherwise, nobody knows what the heck you're talking about. But I say that a lot. If it doesn't work out, or I'm not getting it, it's not kicking in there, I'm like, I'm going to leave that for the night. Because that's when sometimes I can do my best work, or that's when enough thoughts can come out. Or maybe more importantly, the night's a good place for us to drop thoughts. Maybe just be out there without thoughts, because then you can start dwelling on what you were trying to say, rather than having all these thoughts going through your head. Oh, tomorrow I got to go pick up the laundry, or I got to go do the dry cleaning thing, or I got to go get some milk, or, oh, I'm out of coffee. And, you know, you believe that the silly things that run through our brains when we're trying to do some important, interesting art. And I got to talk about to myself, you know, these boring things that of life that we still have to get handled. So the night is a great place to be. It's a wonderful escape. It's our own little fantasy world. I mean that, of course, in a positive way. But it's our own little fantasy world where we can go over there and pretend something and think about something, replay something. I'm one of those people that uses, in many ways, a form of visualization. That's how I do a lot of my editing before I formally do editing on the screen or on paper, is I like visualization. I like to be able to see things in my head. I have a sort of a screen in my head where I know this word should be here, or this line should be there, or that thought is important. That's how I often can write a lot. And not sometimes people will say, Mark, how the heck do you do this article in about 2 hours? I go, because I've been thinking about it all week. I see certain parts of it already, certain things I want to explore. I just got to formally put it together and then rewrite it a couple times, and boom, I'm done. But it's not because I spent 2 hours and now it's all fully formed and I'm some kind of wonderful genius. I'm not. But what I am in is I'm a dweller. I'm somebody that's visualizing. I'm somebody that's saying, let me try this. Let me think about that. Hey, what about, before I'm even like writing it, I'm thinking about that stuff. So this way, when I come down to doing something, I already feel like I have a leg up. I have a way to go. I have a direction. You know what I mean? I have something partially formed already. That helps me a lot to be a little bit more prolific than maybe somebody else is not doing that. And I don't know how to teach somebody to do that, to be honest with you. It just happened over the course of time. I'm seeming to be able to do that. And it's been a useful instrument for me. But what I can say is, find in yourself what works for you. I mean, it's always great to hear what other artists are doing, you know, what their plan is. I heard what Linda's plan is and what she does. Really fascinating. Pretty darn interesting. She's not playing any games, boy. She's doing what she's got to do. And when it comes out, it's coming out great, because she has all these different checks and measures and weights and everything, you know, and God bless her. But you have to find your own. You might hear a few things from me. Maybe it works for you. Maybe it doesn't. I never try to tell somebody, go do this or go do that. But what I do say is, you have to find your own way. And you have to find your own way learning things about what's going to work for you. This way, it puts you at ease. It puts you in your whole ritual sense. It puts you in that secure, safe zone where now you can perform and get something done and be creative. Sometimes that place can only be found at night. It's just really that simple. The night is magical. It's just an amazing, in my opinion, an amazing part of nature happens at night, especially for us creative people. There's so much that happens. You know, I hear actors in the stage telling me that for some reason, they feel more elevated in their thought on the memorization of lines when they're doing a play at night more than they do earlier in the day. Because, you know, some plays will run 2-3 times a day. You know, they might have like an 11 o'clock, you know, a performance, and then maybe one after lunch at 1, and maybe another one at 5 or something like that before dinner. Sometimes they go 2-3 times, and they'll tell me, yeah, we feel like the strongest at night. It can't be a coincidence. So there has to be something interesting and creative in the fact that the night is an important instrument for our creativity. I believe that, I'm not exactly sure what tribe, but there are some indigenous peoples in America, and I think also in Australia too, that believe that the night is sometimes a way for our body to connect temporarily to the spirit world without having doing any additional assistance, meaning that, you know, you're in a meditative state, or you're taking some kind of drug or something to get you to a certain state that you can make a journey or confer or confine or whatever with a spirit, that the night can do it by itself at a certain point if you let it. And they believe in that. So maybe there's a connection there with how creativity works, that it has an otherworldly connection, that it has a dimension that we can connect temporarily, and maybe that's where some of our inspiration may lie, or maybe that's where it may come from. Maybe the night is the best place for our body to process the dreams we might have had the night before. Maybe it comes back to us. Maybe that's all inspiration the muses is a rehearsal of a dream that we don't remember about, and now we're starting to put it down. And then you get that weird deja vu. What could this mean? Oh, maybe it just means that you're remembering a dream you didn't remember before, but you still don't remember it, even though you're looking at it going, hey, that's pretty interesting. When did I come up with that? And I know it sounds really strange. I'm remembering a dream that I didn't remember and I don't remember, but I got something over here that has to come from something like that because I physically feel something towards it. And I shouldn't, because I can't recall all the facts, all the points, where it came from, but why do I feel close to it? Why does it somehow resonate in me? Why is it something now that I feel more relaxed than something I might have created in another part of the day? Maybe there is some connection out there. Many, many cultures believe that there is. And I always say, without making fun of my own culture, meaning that Italians, which they always feel there's a real connection there. If you listen to any Italian operas, you know, the night is where all kinds of weird drama happens. But even my American culture, where sometimes I feel we become so modern that we forget that there's earth out there, that there are people who believe something different and more than just go to work, take care of kids, watch Netflix, and then go to sleep. I mean, there's some people who actually think there's more to life than that. And I think sometimes we become so modern and so technological that we forget that there is a nature out there. There is a rhythm out there. There is possibly a spiritual force out there. I mean, even atheists like Carl Sagan, and God rest his soul, he was a great guy and a great astronomer, but even he started wondering, is it out there? Aldous Huxley, he said that many times. I'm not sure if I believe in God. I'm not even sure if I have a use for religion, but I think there's a spiritual connection out there. I just don't know what to call it. And maybe that's all that people can do sometimes, he was saying, is call it God because they don't know what to call it. Make a religion around it because they're not really sure. And maybe those what those things are is those are doors possibly to another dimension, the idea of a religion or the concept of a God. So he didn't want to rule it out because he was still having his own search and things. And I think Carl Sagan was also doing that. So you got a lot of people out there that they might not formally believe in God, in a cosmic force out there, and still wonder about, you know, the amazing creation of the galaxies. I was reading the other day, and I took note that if you're in a cosmic situation in a galaxy, and let's say you're in a spaceship, unless you're near an actual star or you're in a bunch of stars area, you're still just in straight darkness. That's all that is out there, is darkness and night and darkness and night. That's all these galaxies are. So it's amazing how the galaxies are full of night and full of coldness, and you could just die out there in seconds. Yet the suns, the stars that are out there, they bring the life. They make everything whole. But they also, if you think about it, and I'm not a Buddhist person, but I respect some of those concepts, it brings into balance. Having the light brings into the balance of the night. You can't appreciate night until you've gone through the day. It's just like they say, you can't appreciate heaven until you've gone through hell. I don't want to sound cliche and corny, but even in that cliche, I think there's a real gain of truth over there that, yeah, you have to have a balance. You can't have an appreciation for good unless you've gone through some bad things. I always tell people on many instances, whether it's personal or professional or artistic, that, yeah, we often take things for granted. And the reason we do that is because usually things are going so well, and you take things for granted. You take things for granted in your relationship or in your family, sometimes even your arts, because nothing has been thrown at you as a wrench to mess things up that now you have a challenge to go back and go, I need to start over again. I need to go down, do this angle. I need to do this. I need to do that. So for me, I wonder if the night is a way for us to sort of like get a second chance in the day. Hey, I had like 12 hours of this horrible craziness. Couldn't get the car to work right. Everything didn't go good at work. Got my wife mad at me. Kids are running around like they got demons in them. Maybe the night's a chance for me to restart over again for this day, to make this day end something great when it started horrible and continued that way. So the night is not just something magical for us in an artistic way. Maybe just in the philosophical way, it's our second chance to do something with the remaining of the day. Or maybe it's our second chance to say, maybe I could do something different for tomorrow that I didn't do today. Because sometimes we have bad days, not because of all these unseen forces that messed us up. Sometimes we have bad days because we made some bad choices. We got to be responsible for them. And it's kind of hard to be responsible when you're in the middle of doing something stupid. But at night, you can reflect. Hey, I could have went at this guy in this direction, and I did that, and that just made things worse. Let me see what I can do tomorrow, because I don't want to be in an internal conflict with somebody, especially if I'm at fault. So the night can be also a real saving grace for us, not just artistically, but as human beings. Sometimes, because you know the name of the show is The Strength to Be Human, well, sometimes you can find the strength to be human at night. Sometimes night can be the only part of your day that you find some peace, that you find some grace, that you can sit down, and I don't even care if you believe in God or not, you could say a little prayer to yourself or something that helps you to get through the rest of the day, or maybe helps you set up something better for the next day. You're throwing something positive out there in the universe. If you believe in a karma type situation, well, you know, the whole day you could have screwed up, and maybe at night that's when you're trying to get it all fixed. And because no one says you have to continue on the path you are unless that's what you want to do and you don't want to do something else. But the night gives you another chance. And I think that's another special element of night. It gives you that creative energy. It gives you maybe a strength to be a better human being. It gives you a moment where you can pray to God or to the universe or even to yourself. You know, hey, Mark, let's get about this tomorrow in a better manner, because you were a little too short today, and that really didn't serve you well. People looking at you like you're some kind of strange person. Maybe you need to go about it differently tomorrow. And they're right. And that's definitely what I would want to do and what I want to cite myself, because I know I've had those days, and so have you. Sometimes those are the days that become the scripts for our creative lives. Yeah, let me write this down, because, you know, I might not want to remember it today because it was such a horrible day, but it's not a bad idea to have some of this in my writing. Maybe I'll learn something from it. Maybe I get something cool and creative out of it. I had to make something out of it, get something positive out of it at the end. And that's what's good about night as well, too. It's a good way for you to sum things up and gain some accountability and find something special when you had a day that wasn't all that special to begin with. I'm going to leave you with that because I'm excited with the show. I thank you all that much for all your support. A lot of people coming on, giving me comments, leaving me wonderful things to say, even on a private basis. The show is growing. We have the segment where I'm going to be doing interviews. I did my first one already with Linda Imbler. I did the first guest house show with John Patrick Robbins. That's a show where we're just going to talk about arts without any particular subject in mind, just shoot the breeze and talk about things. We're going to have one, you'll notice it'll be out there next Wednesday. It talks about, you know, the fee structure and submissions. Is that proper? The debate about ebooks in print, the debate about online journals in print. So a lot of interesting things we're going to talk about as two editors and two people who are also artists as well. So it's going to bring more facets to the show, and I'm pretty excited about that. We're going to have like three different directions going on in the show. You're going to have the standalone shows like today with this night episode. And then you're going to have shows that are going to have an interview with a particular person. And then you're going to have that guest house show a couple times a month where me and John is going to sit down, shoot the breeze, talk about some stuff we normally go get a chance to talk about, and maybe have some entertaining fun with it. I think that one we just did today, it's going to come out next Wednesday, was a lot of fun. So I'm really excited about that. It lets us broaden our audience. It lets us give you something different that maybe you can cling to. Maybe the interviews is all you care about. That's great. Maybe the standalone things all you care about. Wonderful. Maybe all you care about is the guest house thing, because we're doing some fun. We're doing some humor. We're doing some light stuff. We're doing some serious talk, all mixture of everything. Maybe that's what your cup of tea is. Oh, maybe, God willing, you're going to like all three and you stick with us all the time in all of these. But whatever you do, I thank you so much for being with me. This is really, really a pleasure, and it's definitely an art that I'm still learning, but I'm trying to get better and better out of it, because I do love it, and I love all you guys and all your comments you have had. So I wish you well, and until the next episode, thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. Please follow the show and visit our blog at strengthtobehuman.blogspot.com.